This podcast is brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or download the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store. Enjoy.
To Tech Plus, where we bring you the latest and greatest in tech news with myself, Kane, and Ion. We are here today. Ion, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I feel summer all around
me. Yeah, it's definitely a little bit different, eh?
I'm not complaining.
And then next week, apparently, it's going to get cold again.
It's okay. You want to enjoy it while it lasts. There was a time where it was dark at 5, you know?
Yeah.
So, we're winning.
Yeah. I think it's definitely a bit different now.
If we listen to all the tech shows in a row, as we get closer and closer to summer, I'm just happier and happier. And then as we get
to winter... You are definitely happier. You're a summer person. You're a sun child.
You got it. And now's the greatest time to get out and about and get active and get your fitness on and get your training on, because first of all, it only gets hotter, so it gets a little bit harder. And plus, if you can handle the cold-ish part, you can get out and be active, you know.
And that's also why you're so happy, because you have a lot of endorphins going around your body at the moment.
Yeah.
Because you're practicing. What do you call it? Training.
Yes, sir. Cannot stop. Especially now, it's a great time, you know, especially with the amount of hours in your day, where it gets warm, where it gets cold. It's perfect to, you know, be able to finish work, go out, do some exercise. And I was speaking to a friend of mine who's in Johannesburg. It's crazy that, you know, some people live in South Africa, the land of half the country is a coastline, and some people live way out west, you know, don't even interact with the sea or the beach or even have a view of the ocean. Or so we actually are in a nice place here. We might as well go and run on the beach and have a good time.
Exactly.
Speaking of having a good time, Neuralink now has a second patient. Can you believe it? Remember when the first Neuralink patient was announced?
Yes. When was it?
That was like a year ago. Half a year maybe.
So it's quite soon to have a second patient now.
Quite soon. And I remember they had some problems with the first patient.
Yeah, something came loose.
You don't want to hear that in your brain.
It was a short circuit or something.
It experienced a minor interference. So apparently the second Neuralink patient's surgery went well, and he can now design 3D objects and play video games like Counter-Strike 2 without a mouse and keyboard. So,
with only his thoughts?
With his brain alone.
Oh, no.
But I think... I think it's easy to get really overwhelmed in how crazy that is. And it is. It's a feat in of itself. But I think they've made it in such a way that you can control the mouse cursor with your brain and click and things like that, which I think would be easier to do than picking up open Microsoft Docs, you know, and phone mom, you know. And I don't think it's quite that level yet.
Yeah.
But most certainly it's able to know where you want to move your mouse cursor and when you click. So everything's very linear. I think, okay, move mouse cursor. So just like you use it now, move the mouse cursor to the top left-hand corner of the screen and click. You know, that's how it's picking it up. But they hope in time that they'll be able to do concurrent or queued instructions. So I can think, go to the top left-hand corner of the screen, click, and then go to the right-hand corner of the screen, grab the image and drag it into WhatsApp. And then it will execute all of that as I thought it. So that is simultaneously taking the instructions, whereas now it's very linear, one instruction, and you have to, obviously they have to learn to use it in such a way. But apparently the procedure appeared to have gone successfully. The previous patient had an issue where the implant actually became loose inside of the head. It started, and they've made some changes to the second patient's implant. They've shortened the distance between the chip and the wires, and they've made some ways to better secure it to your head, basically, and all this kind of stuff. But definitely the thought of something coming loose that's actively probed into your brain is pretty wild. pretty wild indeed. But that's that. You know, Elon not slowing down for anyone. 15 lawsuits active at once, and also just quickly, you know, installing brain chips and people so they can play video games without a keyboard.
But listen, the new Miss South Africa, Mia LaRue, a beautiful young girl. Well, she's in her 20s. And she's from the Karoo. And she won. She's the first deaf Miss South Africa.
Amazing.
She's got a cochlear implant.
Oh, wow.
And she showed us on camera where it's implanted. It's in her head.
Okay.
Like, it's under her hair. It's on the scalp. And then there's, like, something attached to her ear that picks up what people say, converts it into speech or, like, frequencies or vibrations or waves, and sends it via a little cable that goes right into her head. Wow. Connected to her brain.
Wow.
So there was already that kind of technology was already around. And I mean, she's had it since she was 2. It's now almost like 20 years later.
18 years ago.
Yeah.
Basically, that's insane.
Yeah, or 20 years later.
That's
and,
insane.
And so that kind of thing, the Neuralink kind of thing, probably stems from that as well, you know?
Just, you know, it makes me nervous, like, having an electrical thing, something that actually, you know, carries a current and does electrical jobs and receives electrical impulses and has a battery in it. That scares me, just, you know, insert it into your brain.
But what about a pacemaker?
Well,
a defibrillator, because those pacemakers, they also have built-in defibrillators. When your heart rate is irregular, it shocks you. Shocks your heart. Would you like one of those?
I think my hat's off to people that have it. That's crazy. You are a trooper.
You are electric.
You are a soldier. Speaking of electric, Eskom has launched their electric car chargers.
I saw that this week.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a new one.
In collaboration with GridCars, they unveiled the infrastructure at the Eskom Academy of Learning in Midran, Gauteng. The pilot project involves the installation of 10 charging stations at 5 Eskom sites across the country. Other sites are Brackenfell in Cape Town, Pietermaritzburg, Rustenburg, and a few others. These sites will serve as the foundation for Eskom's distribution long-term strategy to electrify its entire fleet by 2040. In addition to the charging network, the pilot includes procuring 20 electric vehicles or EVs, ranging from light delivery vehicles to light trucks for operational use. It's actually crazy that Eskom, the company that supplies South Africa with power, has just started, you know, providing electric car chargers. You would think anybody that's adept enough or has the proficiencies to get into the car charging market and has the grid and the know-how, you would think it'd be Eskom. But I think they definitely made the right move coming into the market. I'm just surprised they didn't be one of the first movers and shakers in the market. But I think with load shedding, they had their hands kind of full.
And it's now 150 days on the dot since load shedding, eh?
Wow, what a way to, like...
150, that's 5 months.
I think it doesn't feel like almost half a year. It feels like a month.
Yeah. The last time we had it was in March, the 26th of March, 2024.
Man.
And since then, we haven't even had any, well, not in our area, we haven't had any power issues.
Sometimes my power will trip and I get such a fright. I'm like, it's back. We've spiraled back into the pits.
Oh, did your power trip? What did you do?
There's something wrong with my grid in my house. If I use the oven and the stove at the same time, it just tends to turn everything off. So we have to get that checked out. And even more alarmingly, it just turns off without, it doesn't like trip the earth leakage. It's just like, I'm going bye-bye for 5-10 seconds and I'll come back.
Were your lights flickering last night?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, mine were.
Really?
Yeah.
Aliens. Oh, yeah. So, Eskom back in the action. You know, no load shedding for 150 days. Just launched car chargers for the first time. That's pretty positive in my book. It's hard to fault them on those two accomplishments. I think I back the car chargers. Makes sense. Good industry to get into. Glad you want to electrify your feet by 2040. And then also getting into the habit of keeping us with consistent power makes me confident that they're going to be able to uphold the car charges. If they release these car charges during load shedding, can you imagine what people would have said? Like, what are you guys like? Why are you adding more to the grid at a time like this?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So
exactly.
That's crazy.
That's exactly what they would say.
And speaking of crazy, you've bought from Temu.
Yes.
Have you ever bought from Shein?
Oh, no. Shein's more like the clothing, hey?
Yes.
Uh-uh.
Remember in the past, we actually covered some stories about Shein getting in a bit of legal trouble with some copyright lawsuits and some copyright infringement lawsuits, and some designer brands gave them a little bit of a hard time here and there. Well, Shein has gone from, you know, being given a hard time to giving the hard time. They've just sued Temu.
Whoopsie.
So Shein, the Chinese clothing retailer Shein, has sued business rival Temu, accusing it of copyright infringement and stealing its trade secrets. This follows the civil complaint filed by Shein at the Washington, D.C. federal court, claiming that Temu encourages counterfeiting other designs and disallows the removal of admittedly copied products.
Oops.
It's just crazy because that's exactly what Shein does. It's like, you know, that's just, they're just kind of like, well, if you guys are going to sue us, we're going to sue them. Like, there's no way. Both retailers have been battling for market share in the fast fashion market following the meteoric growth of their businesses following the COVID-19 pandemic. The complaint also accuses Temu, owned by PDD Holdings, of relying on a business model that priced products so low that they needed to be subsidized, causing the business to lose money with every transaction. Only by encouraging its sellers to infringe the intellectual property rights of others and sell counterfeit or substandard goods, can Temu hope to maximize the massive losses it's subsidizing? Temu spokesperson said to My Broadband in response to their lawsuit to say that the audacity is unbelievable. Shein, buried under its own mountain of IP lawsuits, has the nerve to fabricate accusations against others for the very misconduct they repeatedly have been sued for. So a little bit of drama in the Temu Shein land with the two big heads butting heads pretty hard, but we'll see who comes out on top. If Shein wins this lawsuit, that'll be pretty interesting. Definitely put some pressure on Temu, but strange that Shein accuses Temu of stealing its business model as well, which is like volumetrically selling cheap clothing at a lower discounted price, you know, at high volumes. And kind of seems weird to sue them for that. That seems like a common type of, it seems like an industry, not a trade secret, you know.
Yeah. I kind of feel like it's going to be a long drawn out thing.
I think it will be. I think we'll be hearing about it for a while to come, and I hope it's just not like one of those Vodacom please call me things where, like, 17 years later we're like, they finally signed a confidentiality agreement, we'll now no longer hear anything.
Yeah, so I wonder what's happening behind those closed doors there at Vodacom.
I don't want to know. I mean, the fact that you know somebody might have been following this story for 17 years and then they go confidential, can you imagine, like, watching a drama on TV?
It would be the worst ending
till it starts getting to the good parts and then it's like, sorry, you don't, you need to be this tall to ride this ride.
Yeah, that's quite disappointing.
That's quite sad. What's also very interesting is, have you ever looked at McDonald's Instagram or seen or followed any of McDonald's profiles on social media or anything like that?
No, I can't say I have, eh?
Really, eh? Never?
No, I mean, maybe I follow it, but I don't really see their stuff in my feed.
Yeah, I don't think I even follow, like, KFC or McDonald's or Steers or any of those fast food
restaurants. Maybe, like, you liked it, like, ages ago, but you don't always see them coming up in your feed.
Maybe you liked it, like, ages ago. That word, like, maybe you liked it, like, ages ago. That's like three likes in that five words that you used. It's like 80% like, and that's it.
That's a good one.
So, apparently, McDonald's Instagram hack leads to a $700,000 Solana crypto scam. So, in a nutshell, without getting too complicated, what actually happened was McDonald's Instagram account was hacked, and then, you know, they have that purple mascot. I can't remember what his name is. Grimace.
Oh,
they have
that
purple mask. McDonald's has a purple mascot called Grimace. I mean, I don't even understand.
Not as creepy as that clown.
No, the clown top. That thing fueled my nightmares.
That's straight out of that movie It.
And how did that get so popular? Like, how is that a mascot that they were like, that's the one? This one that instills fear.
Super creepy.
In my
super
life.
Creepy.
But anyway, their Instagram account got hacked, and they basically made a post to say, hey, you know, we're officially coming to Solana to do a McDonald's experiment. So they said, we're doing a McDonald's experiment on Solana, the hackers. And Solana is a cryptocurrency. It's a blockchain, just like Bitcoin is a blockchain. So it's basically a cryptocurrency. And they basically did a little fundraising effort, which raised $5.1 million. I believe, or even more than that. No, the scam resulted in losses of 700,000, but 5.1 million people were exposed to the fraudulent token through McDonald's Instagram. And according to blockchain analytics services, the scammer's strategy was methodical. The thieves initially used Solana meme coin deployer Pump.Fun, To acquire and control 75% of the total circulating supply of the Grimace token before distributing these tokens amongst approximately 100 different wallets to hide their ownership. Let's break it down. What happened? They were launching. They said, okay, we're going to hack McDonald's Instagram account, and they were going to use their mascot as a social engineering scam. And what we're going to do is, before we even go and post anything on Instagram, we're going to launch a cryptocurrency called Grimace. And in cryptocurrency land, anybody can launch a cryptocurrency. And a lot of meme coins exist out there, like Dogecoin, for example. And they're basically meme coins. And all it really means is it's just something that has financial value that is based off of like belief and comedy more than strategic financial roadmap in your traditional, you know, financial elevators. So what they did was, before they launched the scam on the Instagram, they went and launched the token, and they slowly bought up 75% of all the token through 100 different wallets, so that they looked like they didn't have all the token, when in reality they actually did have all the token, but they just had a lot of wallets that nobody knew about. Anyway, then they go to Instagram, and everybody thinks it's McDonald's launching a cryptocurrency called Grimace. So everybody goes and everyone spends $700,000 buying the Grimace cryptocurrency.
Oh my word.
And because they held 75%, they just sold that 75%, resulting in that $700,000 worth of losses and a pretty surgical level scam through very simple means.
Flip it. That's okay. Not good.
Not good on I want to see, you know, that story behind how the one day Twitter got hacked. And what actually happened was, one of the Twitter employees got an email from his fake boss to ask to share access information. I wonder if it was like something like that.
Probably.
Some guy sitting at home, like, already removed all of his fingernails with nervousness, like, this is not going to end well for me, you know. This is like,
that's probably what happened, eh?
Yeah, not looking good for that social media manager. He's nervous. Yeah, no, not good. Not good. Also not good for FNB. Do you know FNB Payday? So FNB Payday is like a So FNB and RMB have been hit by a major outage impacting their card payments, ATM services, and digital banking channels. Outage tracking website DownDetector showed a massive surge in reports of issues with FNB from around 12:30 on Friday, 23 August 2024. Most of the reports flagged issues related to online banking, mobile banking, and online login. Numerous FNB customers are also complaining about being unable to access their mobile banking app or internet banking online on X, and attempting to open the mobile banking app presented a request cannot be processed error. This is a very scary thing for me.
It happened on payday.
Yeah, and then obviously just total chaos. But for me, what's really crazy about this is, you know, if Facebook goes down, we make a big deal out of it. You know, like, oh my goodness, like, I can't see the latest, you know, funny videos today, or I can't see that, you know, Facebook post, I can't see this business on Facebook.
My life's over,
you know. And here the bank has an outage, and it's like, good luck buying those groceries you wanted to buy. You have an immediate payment you need to make. Sorry for you. Not going to happen.
That's like, not cool.
You're totally gutted.
That's not good for people living hand to mouth.
No, and on payday, really. Like,
no. You know, now tonight they were looking forward to KFC. Can you imagine? Now what, they're gonna have 2 minute noodles.
I just find it not funny cool. Because the most basic excuse in the book to like a landlord for non rent payment is like, sorry, my banking app's not working, you know. Like,
I'll try that.
So you can really use it just for today. You can really use it. And then before we jump into a music break, another internet cable fault hit South Africa.
I didn't notice. Did you notice?
There was a little bit of...
Wait, let me think.
...hearsay here and there. There were some times where the internet just didn't work for a few minutes or so. Nothing too, like...
I usually blame the computer.
Really?
Yeah. So maybe it wasn't the computer.
Start hitting it.
Sorry, computer.
You owe it a split apology.
Oh, shag.
Yeah. So several links on the Eastern African Submarine System, or we call it EASSY or SA, have become offline since Tuesday due to a shunt fault. Broadband learned and reported this. An industry source with knowledge of this situation explained that traffic to the Middle East and Central and Eastern European areas was the most affected and seeing increased latency. However, unlike the incidents earlier this year, the fault does not appear to have caused major disruptions to the continent's internet. SA, the cable, is a 10,000 kilometer long cable that is submarine and runs along the east coast of Africa with 9 landing stations in Sudan, Somalia, Kenya, Tanzania, Comoros, Madagascar, Mozambique, and South Africa. It's a consortium of cable owned. It's a consortium cable owned by several telecommunications companies, including, and this was a surprise to me, some of these names. Some of them I didn't know, like WIOCC. I've never heard of that. But MTN, right? MTN's Baobab, Vodacom DRC, Liquid Intelligent Technologies, and Telkom. Telkom, MTN, and Vodacom in on that deal. That's very, it's actually not surprising, but I didn't know that they were in on that deal. I wouldn't have thought that. Also, according to TeleGeography, the other owners are BT, Botswana Fiber Networks, Comoros Telecom, Mauritius Telecom, Saudi Telecom, Tanzania Telecommunications Corporation, Telkom Kenya, Telma, and Zambia Telecom. This is quite a big... I mean, think about it. You're going to now... If you said, Kane, here's a blank check. Run a 10,000 kilometer cable from South Africa to along Africa up to Europe. I'll say, no thanks. I'm good, bro. I don't even know where I'd begin to manage that project of sinking 10,000 kilometers worth of cable. That's a mega, 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 mega long cable.
Did you hear about that luxury yacht?
That blew up, like had a complete freak accident.
Yeah.
What happened?
It was like a tornado, but in the water, a water spout.
Yes.
That thing came right at it while the people were sleeping on the luxury yacht.
Damn.
And it just capsized, and most of them drowned, including the British tech entrepreneur Mike Lynch.
Jesus.
I must be honest, I didn't know who he is before this, but he was like one of the big shots at, you know, HP, like the laptops and stuff?
Yes.
He was involved with HP.
Oh, he actually has a ongoing lawsuit with HP.
Because, that guy.
Because, this is very interesting, because what he did was he sold a company to HP, I believe. And when he sold that company to HP, I think he fraudulently did some degree of misconduct to whatever extent to inflate the value of the business prior to the sale, or with the intent to sell, and then successfully sold to HP, and they're actually suing him. And he also had a business partner, I think, that died a few days ago as well. So both of them are just gone.
Now, you listen, now I'm very suspicious.
Isn't that weird? Eh? I mean, like, I don't know how factual that is. That's what I've read. But
I read about that business partner who was hit by a car.
Yeah.
So maybe,
accidents.
What if this was, maybe this is just my imagination or my writer's imagination, but what if this was actually his escape, you know?
Well,
from all of it.
Well, maybe it was an escape, but maybe it also was a hit. So the next time you're like you're sailing your boat and a waterbender is just producing a water spout to take you out, just like run while you can. You know?
But what if he used, maybe he's like, this is my exit, you know, kind it of could. Stage. And now he's, remember, if you're rich, you can stage these things. You know, you can escape to an island, get a new identity.
Well, that's
get
what
a
he
new
thought.
Face.
That's what he thought could have happened with the submarine, the Ocean Odyssey. What is it called?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
something Odyssey.
Yeah,
maybe am I wrong? Oceanic no. or something like that.
Yeah,
Titan submarine.
Yes, whatever.
Titan sub.
Yeah,
that's
but
what
I know
knew.
What
it is.
Yeah,
yeah. And I thought also I had some suspicions. I was like, it's a good way to disappear, but. You know, there's actually video footage of
how
that.
How will we ever know?
You won't, I don't think. And that was some pretty gnarly looking weather that, you know, that was captured when that boat went down. So maybe a freak accident, but definitely...
One of those things we'll never know, eh?
You'll never know. And we'll apparently that know. Boat's been in worse weather conditions. So it's like also odd that it went down. And obviously some of them survived to say like this was wild. And I think they're still looking for the tech billionaires. Or the
they found him.
Her daughter.
They found
daughter.
Him and the daughter.
Oh, really?
Well, yes.
Did they find them?
They all found.
Oh, man.
They've all been
terrible.
Found now.
I'm glad some people survived, though. That's really good.
Yeah, I don't know. We're just, obviously, we're just speculating and saying what is possible. I mean, it's not impossible for people to stage their own deaths. This has happened before, especially very powerful people.
Actually, there was a story I was going to cover today of someone who ended up faking their own death, but got caught and got sentenced to like 7 years in prison.
Oops.
So,
yeah, when you do it, please do it properly.
It's
okay?
Definitely a hit and a miss like thing, you know. It's like you either fake your death and live on, or you fake your death and lose your life anyway. So it's like, it's pretty rough.
Let's go for some music.
Let's do it.
And we're back with Tech Plus on this fine Saturday. If you just joined us, hello to you and welcome. We're looking at this week's biggest tech stories. Kane, what is up next?
So next we're going to talk about it very briefly, but Trump being in the news again.
He's always
after dodging the bullet, quite literally, has now launched or is about to launch a cryptocurrency platform. So this sounds like straight out of like page 10 of, you know, don't get scammed by celebrities starting their own cryptocurrency platforms, because it's probably a scam. Not the celebrity doing it, but just platform itself, because what are the odds? But we actually see it happening. Rug pull come to life. But the weird thing for me is, you know, even when Trump was going through his first set of elections for his first presidency term, he was always mentioned as someone that has an aptitude or was somewhat, you know, open to crypto as a financial product, but was never making any serious moves or at least that I could remember. But very much so leading up to this election, I think Trump has had a completely different kind of impression to the younger generation of media. We've seen him on content creators platforms that are of a younger generation. I think we saw him on Aiden Ross. He was on Aiden Ross's stream at one stage, who's quite a young content producer. I think he was in an interview with MKBHD as well. So he's kind of hitting the younger generation content sources in a way that I haven't seen any American politicians do in the past. You know, you don't see you don't see any of our previous presidents going on YouTube influencers pages or, you know, doing any of that kind of stuff. But even more than that, obviously I see him now attempting to he's launched his own social media platform called Truth Social, where he actually announced this cryptocurrency platform that he'll be launching, and he's calling it the Defiant Ones. DeFi is a term in crypto which stands for decentralized finance, and Defiant obviously means against something. So he's kind of combined decentralized finance with the word defiant, and it's created a literal word called defiant, and it's called the Defiant Ones. And apparently it's aimed and targeted at helping unbanked and financially unsupported communities, which is a very much an election based kind of pitch, to be honest with you. We've got to help the small guy, but we definitely keep track of that and see how that goes. We haven't seen a president launch a cryptocurrency platform before. And most definitely not a former president who wasn't president launched a cryptocurrency platform and then potentially became president and now is a president who owns a cryptocurrency platform. It's pretty strange. It's like CZ Binance, who owns Binance, becoming president. It's very good for crypto, put it that way. The rest of the world news as well. Apple is still standing in the way of Epic's App Store. So Epic, I don't know if you know it, but the UK launched a whole bunch of anti-monopoly actions against Apple, basically saying your App Store takes too much commission from people who are launched on the App Store. Mm. We had Spotify and the iOS App Store have a fight a few years ago.
Oh yeah, I remember.
That was very teeth and nails fight. They were very upset about that, and rightly so. You know, they have to pay artists and stuff, and 30% of everything they were making was going to Apple before even fee structure. It's just that straight sales commissions. So a change needed to happen, and the UK was kind of putting a lot of pressure on Apple to release its reins on the App Store. What it basically meant, it was saying, well, we can't get you to change the policies of your App Store, because it wasn't just Spotify that tried to attack them. It was Deezer, Spotify, Facebook, like anybody that basically sold something on the App Store that had a lot of sales. Fortnite, for example, ended up being very upset with Apple and kind of causing some trouble. So amid that, they actually got court ordered to allow other app stores to be on Apple. So if you have an Apple device and you live in the UK, your device is no longer limited to only the App Store in the UK. Other developers and other companies can actually launch independent app stores from the Apple App Store and have their own apps on that store, which are unfortunately, naturally, Apple, still subject to commission fees and structures and all that sort of stuff. So apparently, even though Epic Games now has its own app store, they've created a little bit more problems than what they've solved. Epic Games is the guys who created Fortnite and actually launched Fortnite on mobile, which is a very popular mobile game. And I assume that going to the future, they'll try and establish themselves as an app store. They'll try and attract other developers to build games that aren't, or even build apps that aren't game related, or even apps that are games that aren't Fortnite related. And we'll see how this battle between the UK and Apple and its, you know, own app store competitors find and navigate the space. But apparently with Apple, because they've put so many rules and regulations in place between your customer on your on this app and them actually making a purchase, unfortunately there's still so much commission lost. The structures are very hectic, up to 30%, 40-50% commission lost on some purchases. Very hard to run a business when you got to pay an app store 50% of everything you make.
Yeah, yeah.
And still somehow make it. So also makes it more expensive to the customer as well.
Yes.
And makes a lot of money for Apple. So we'll see how that goes and what happens there. And then here's something that I think is very cool. The Verge. The Verge is a international publication that focuses on tech. Featured an article that spoke about some of their favorite audio gear. So Ion, obviously you running and being a part of a radio station, you know, how important is audio gear for you? And how did
it's everything.
And when you started your studio, how hard was it to source all the audio equipment you needed?
Actually not as hard as you would think, eh?
Really, eh?
It became so easy in recent years. You know, like years ago, like 10 years, maybe even more, would be a little bit harder. You'd have to go to a specialist store. I mean, now you get everything online.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even have to go outside your house.
I remember about 5, 6, 5, 10 years ago, I was very focused on getting a lot of equipment like audio and stuff. And it was hard to
you
find
see,
audio equipment
exactly.
here. I don't even think there was a mic that yeah. was beyond like a very entry level mic that you yes. could go and buy. I actually think the first mic that I used was like a lapel mic, you know, like the ones you attach to
was
a
that
shirt.
For your YouTube videos?
Yeah, and I sticky oh, taped cool. that to a like 2 meter long stick.
Oh, you
like
made a, it a boom.
And then it was a boom mic.
Brilliant.
With a lapel. You know,
I love it. And it did work.
And it wasn't a budget thing. It was like it was the only thing available in South Africa.
But how did it actually work? What was
it
the quality works. Like that it worked?
It worked. It, anything you do for the first time isn't very good, but it worked.
And how did it work outside with the wind? Were you filming it outside?
It was terrible.
Well?
Don't.
Because those winds, you know, what do you call those ones?
The wind mufflers.
Yes.
Those
you,
things
you need
do
one of those fluffy
work.
Mics.
So here are some audio equipment items that The Verge has recommended for people. And if you are a guy who does enjoy audio, it's probably like, this is probably a good recommendation. So you got the Rode NTH-100 headphones. Rode is an audio company, just like Audio Technica and Beats, but they make very good sound. So the NTH-100 headphones are really, really good. They go for about 3,000 Rand usually, 4,000 Rand.
Rode's got some amazing mics. That's on my
I have a Rode mic.
You
and
do.
It's just so good.
Oh my word! I so want good. The Rode, not the pod mic, but the radio mic.
Oh, I'm gonna show you which one I have. You must tell me which one it is. That's very interesting. Then you got the Ray-Ban Meta Smart Glasses. These are becoming more and more and more popular. These you'll get for about 6,000 Rand. But we've spoken about these on the Tech Show many times. The audio on these glasses is insane because it doesn't play it into your ear; it plays it into your skull.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
it like. You have an extra pair of ears listening to music
basically,
and another
yeah.
pair of ears that can listen to the outside world. Definitely cool. worth trying out at least once. You got the Sony Link Buds, which are like AirPods, but made by Sony. And it's interesting to see them marketed here as well. It's going to be about 3,000, just short of 3,000 Rand. You got the Samsung Galaxy Buds 2 Pro. I actually have the Samsung Galaxy Buds 2. I wouldn't recommend it. But the Buds 2 Pro are actually a little bit better, and you probably get them at a good price because the Buds 3 are already out, so you'll get a good price there. And then you've got some mics. You've got the Shure mic, but we don't get Shure in South Africa, which is unfortunate. And yeah, that's some good audio equipment. So if you hear any of those brands, see any of those brands. I also really like Audio Technica stuff. That's really good. I also saw, I don't know if you know them, they're called it's called Sony MX-1000s. They're actually like 7,000 Rand headphones. They're super expensive, but it's like one of the flagship headsets from Sony. And I've heard a really lot of good feedback about the quality you get from those Sony MX-1000s. And they are expensive. I think there's even a newer one now that's like 9,000. Mm. So those are really, really cool. Then we have 11 Labs' AI reader app that basically allows you to read any web page or read any book or anything now can narrate text in 32 different languages. So that's always cool. You can see a little bit about how AI is progressing on that one. And next we have a on Saturday night, tonight, NASA will determine the next steps for our Boeing Starliner crew. Finally, they're making a decision.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's crazy because if you listen to the texture, just imagine if you've tuned in every week, every single week that we've been speaking for like the past almost 8 weeks, these guys have been stuck in a space station, which was supposed to be a routine, quick 1 week, 2 week trip. And here they are, week nine, you know, starting to imagine go crazy.
Imagine that's your mom or dad. Hey, where's your mom? I haven't seen her lately. Nah, she's stuck in space.
You can't even, like, you can't even get there to do anything. I wouldn't even
believe it.
No, I wouldn't.
If somebody said to me, nah, my mom's stuck in space. What?
Is that a metaphor?
That's something you can that's something you can not really use as an excuse. But if you're the kids of those people, definitely you can.
So astronauts Barry Butch Wilmore and Sunita Williams will possibly come home from the ISS on the Starliner, and hopefully we'll get back to Earth. Otherwise, they might hitch a ride from SpaceX next year without protective suits, because apparently SpaceX might be able to have rocket ships that don't even need protective suits to keep astronauts safe from all the yummy radiation that one might find, like we spoke about last week, the cosmic radiation.
Ooh,
yeah, it even sounds dangerous, you know.
It does.
Don't want to get hit with them cosmic rays. Why don't you want to go to space? I'm not about the cosmic rays, eh? That's so funny. Next up, Tesla. Actually, here's something interesting. If you buy a car, and in this case, we're talking about the Cybertruck. But let's say, you know, you go to the shop, you buy a brand new car. Maybe you get it financed, full price, whatever you want to do. And then you go and read the fine print. And in the fine print, it says you're not allowed to sell this car for the first year after you buy it. Would you respect the rule? Would you be upset that the rule was there? Or would it not really bother you, continue with your life?
Good question.
Because apparently, when you buy a Cybertruck, or when you bought a Cybertruck up until recently, they had a clause in that contract that said you're not allowed to resell the Cybertruck for a year when you buy it.
Why?
So if you buy it, you don't like it, and they can sue you.
But they really want you to experience it for a year first before you
make it. I saw one guy slam the Cybertruck to the door and the whole thing came apart.
Yeah, you mentioned it.
But then I saw another guy doing the same thing and the door didn't come apart. So now I'm like, I don't know what to think.
Yeah.
But apparently the door weighs like 25 kgs. It's like ridiculous.
Whoa.
It's like a heavy as hell door.
Yo, it is very heavy.
Imagine trying to close
it's
that.
It's hard to slam it. So it's quite a workout to slam it.
Apparently Tesla's removed that clause now. So we might see more secondhand Cybertrucks on the market. Apparently they just quietly removed it. I don't know what they would have done to enforce it though. You know?
Yeah, how would they even
hire people to browse Gumtree and just take out anyone, like completely harass people, like a cease and desist from Cybertruck? You don't dare sell this car.
And Facebook Marketplace.
Oh. Well, they want you, like, they come and fake be the buyers and just confiscate your car. You wanted to sell it, you know?
Yeah, that I wonder why, eh? That's quite a cheeky clause, eh?
It's very crazy. Now, when was the last time you booked an Airbnb?
Last year, I think.
Last year?
Yeah.
And when you went to this Airbnb, how'd you get into the house?
The owner gave me the keys.
So the owner met you, said, here's the keys to my house, goodbye.
No, the owner was on the property.
Oh, so the owner lived on the property and they came and opened up for you. Yes. And gave the keys.
And you? Okay. Why?
Well, sometimes...
What happens?
Sometimes there'll be like a lockbox where
I'll put in a code. That's right. Yeah, those are quite nice.
Sometimes there'll be like an ornament or something. Sometimes there's somewhere you have to stop and get it. Like every Airbnb property has some different rules. But as a person who's probably renting out the Airbnbs, I can imagine it can be quite a process to figure out, you know, depending on what my movements are, how can I create a safe way for people to access this house?
Yeah, those lockboxes are the best.
I think the lockboxes are the best because you have a code. But once one person stays at your house, they can effectively come there whenever you want to get into the house.
Yeah.
Because they know the code.
Can you change the code?
Well, you can, but you're going to have to.
You have to change it. very often.
What if you manage 10 properties? Like every week, every time there's a new guest, you're changing the code once. You're going to lose those codes real quick.
Later on, you can't get in.
Or you start using the same code for all of them, and then somehow you've got like 20 squatters in one go. You don't know what's happening.
That's a scenario.
So apparently, Airbnb has made it easier to get into rentals by connecting more smart locks. So you can actually get a smart lock that can connect to Wi-Fi, and you can remotely open it and allow people into the house. So let me know if you ever go out here and rent an Airbnb or something. Let me know if they had like a smart box. And was it voice activated? You have to put in a code, digital code. Does it just unlock when I get close to it? Do I have to scan a barcode that's on my phone? Because that's quite cool. Because it's all fun and games until your guest for your house arrives and there's someone else there from last week who's like come to visit.
And what if that person's still in the shower?
My biggest fear is I rock up to an Airbnb and there's someone else that's arriving that day for the same Airbnb, like there's a double booking or something. Who gets to keep the house?
It's going to be a coin toss.
Do you decide over rock, paper, scissors? Do you punch it up? Coin toss. Punch battle, swim race, 100 meter sprint, first to get to the bedroom. Like what is the rules to decide who gets to keep the house first booking? I don't know.
Yeah, that is quite a problem.
It's quite a conundrum.
Yeah.
On that note, is it time for music break?
It sure is. I almost forgot. Let's play the music. And welcome back to Tech Plus, the final stretch for this week's edition. Kane, what is next on the agenda?
So next on the agenda, this is something that I find very, very interesting. We have Threads that is still very, very active. So remember Facebook launched Threads as a competitor to X while it was kind of faltering in its balance, getting a lot of negative publicity. Facebook's like, we'll launch a competitor. And they picked up like 100 million users pretty quick, and it's since gone to about 300 million users. And they're still very much trying to create, like I always forget about it, and then here they come with like all these updates. I'm like, this is still a thing.
I've never met anybody saying, follow me on Threads.
No, and I've seen a lot of Facebook posts like have like a very interesting piece of content that links to Threads, and then it's like, you've got to install an app, and I'm like, man.
Yeah, I think that's how they want
to. We should try it out. You never know. So apparently Threads is testing several new features like scheduling and analytics, which basically is quality of life stuff, make it easier for you to schedule stuff, make it easier for you to review stuff. Definitely, I would, if I had a business and it was local and I was trying to get local foot traffic, I might look towards a social media site that's very uncompeted to establish myself as a brand. But I don't know if I'd go in it as a user. I don't know, you know, there's so many social platforms out there that I think it's all about preference. So
yeah.
I never really liked Twitter that much. So to have a Twitter alternative is like not really that interesting to me.
Mm.
But a lot of people have been using it and really liking it. Apparently, Lamborghini's first electric vehicle is nearly ready. So we're going to see a Lamborghini EV. It's going to be a different kind of experience. You see a Lambo come past and drives away really, really quickly, but completely silently.
Yeah, I was going to say no, without the sound.
Is it the same?
Oh, no, that's not good.
Is it the same? Someone's sitting there with a YouTube video, like with a petrol-powered Lamborghini, just playing the rev noise, trying to make it work.
Yeah, no, that just won't be the same, eh?
No, it won't.
No, mm-mm.
It's just not the same. And then here's something else that's very, very interesting. The Google Pixel 9 just came out. So anybody who follows phones, you have your Apple phones, you have your Samsung phones, you have your Huawei phones, your Huawei. How do you pronounce it? Huawei. What?
Forget about the H. Huawei.
Huawei. The H is silent.
Yeah, exactly.
Huawei. I always hear it and then know it, and then when I try and say it later
it's like the brain won't.
There's like 21 possible options in my mind.
The disconnection between the brain and the tongue.
So Google's Pixel is a phone. A friend of mine actually has the Pixel, and he's very, very happy with it. But this is where it gets a little bit crazy. Along with Google's new Pixel's device release, they are also including, naturally, just like Samsung, a whole bunch of AI features. You've got AI for messaging, you've got AI for reminders, you've got AI for translation, you've got AI for photo optimization, you've got all these different AI solutions to all these different kind of problems, and they're all their own separate apps. But one thing that users have noticed that is consumer level available on these devices is you can actually go, let's say I go to a restaurant here in the area, and I get the food. It's great. I take a photo of it. I take 3 or 4 photos of it. It's great. And for some reason, I'm not a very nice person. So I go home, I go into my AI, and on my beautiful picture of my pizza, I ask it to put 3 cockroaches onto it.
Ah.
And it will perfectly put them on. You will not be able to tell that those are not real. It looks as real as it is. So one of the conundrums that we're kind of coming across is you've got these native tools on your phone that make it extremely easy to lie. You tell your work, oh, sorry, I can't make it. I'm here at the moment. You just take a selfie and you adjust the image with AI. You know,
oops.
I can't make it. I'm out at sea at the moment. You just like fake an image. You know, whoa. Oh, sorry. You know, I'm not happy with this restaurant's quality. Everything on my plate was burnt, and it was just added in with
like
AI.
A filter or something. Yeah.
So it's essentially a lying tool that's built into your phone, because we gain a lot of reassurance from physical recordings and stuff. You know, if someone says, hey, this happened, you say, show me a photo or a video of it, I'll believe you. So the fact that inside your phone is technology capable of basically creating quite sophisticated lies that could be to the detriment of people and or businesses, and it's just like readily available, like, and pre-installed app on your phone. Would you like to lie better today? Get the Pixel 9. And that's crazy. That's something we use to establish trust. And now on a consumer level, it's just super easy to blur those lines.
Yeah, once again, we won't know what's real and what's not.
It's all fun and games until your business has got a Google review with a picture you ain't never seen before. This is a weird store for a place that has
that's
a hole in the wall.
That's another thing, hey?
Yeah.
Imagine
you spend every day paying 2 people every day to clean your business and make sure everything's clean, and some guy comes in and just puts that AI dust filter on your whole business. It's like, this place is in shambles, such a mess. The walls are covered in dirt. There's crayon marks.
They'll do that with the hotels, definitely.
Can you imagine? As a hotel manager, there just could be an endless amount of problems that technologies that help us distinguish what is AI and what isn't actually will become. It's like quintessential to our ability to evaluate products
and
places.
Yeah.
And on that scary note, it's time to end.
Yes. Just quickly, a story I saw this week in the news. Hungry tourists hiking on the Great Wall of China can now get their lunch delivered.
By what?
Drone. Yeah. So you could be way up there on the Great Wall of China, and a drone will bring you some takeaway.
I wonder if
that's pretty cool. Hey?
Wasn't the Great Wall of China to separate 2 territories? So imagine well established, and someone on the other side of the wall is ordering takeaway from people on the other side. Man.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. Hey, so obviously it can even bring medical supplies. Let's say there's an incident on the wall. You know, it can bring medical supplies. I think it's pretty cool.
Damn, that is absolutely insane.
Definitely.
Did not see that coming. It reminds me of a story that we can talk about. Like, apparently South Korea and North Korea were fighting, and I think one of the sides sent a balloon full of human waste to the other. Imagine that. And the reason they did that is because the one side kept leaving litter and rubbish on the other side's territory. So as a retaliation effort, they sent like 6 hot air balloons filled with human waste into the country.
What is it with those 2 freaking
that's some
nations?
Warfare, eh? That's better than sending nukes at each other. I won't lie.
Yeah.
But still.
I don't understand what it's all about. I have to go and read up to have an opinion.
So drones delivering food? Not so bad, man. Could be worse.
Definitely. Kane, thank you so much. That was another great show. And I hope you'll enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you so much for having me. And thank you to all of our listeners for listening in. We'll see you same time, same place next week.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This podcast was brought to you by eRadio. For more podcasts, check out our website on eradiosa.com or through the eRadio SA app from the Google Play Store.